I want to welcome you to Dream Chasers Radio with me, your host, Yaya Diamond. What's up, peoples? How you doing? It is a great day, and I'm so very excited to be here. Let me tell you something, okay? Even if you don't want to do something, you need to do it. My next guest knows what that's like. She is an author now. Her first book is out. She resisted. She pushed back. It didn't work. She had to do it. I want to welcome Vaughn to the show. And girl, I ain't even going to try the rest of the name. I'm just going to leave it right there. I'm just going to say, hey, Vaughn, what's up?
Hey. My name is Vaughn Gretchen. So you couldn't mess that up.
So Vaughn, tell us about yourself. I mean, there's just so many different aspects to why a person writes a book. But what led up to this point for you?
Oh, man, let me tell you. So first and foremost, I do want to say that I am a daughter of the King. When I say I'm a daughter of the King, God is my life. And so I give all praises and honor to him. Secondly, I am a kingdom ambassador. So again, that brings God back into my life. And I would say thirdly, I am a woman of persistence. Okay. When I do talk about myself, there are so many accolades that I use. And one of them is I'm a suicide survivor. when people hear that, they're just like, what? Whoa, why? You know, but yes, I am a suicide survivor. I attempted to take my life after taking 55 Xanax. We went through some things in our home dynamics where our daughter, who was who became pregnant at the age of 15 years old, went through full 9-month pregnancy, everything. I was there, mama, I'm there. I'm a nurse. This is my 20th year as a nurse. Thank you. So, you know, I went into full mommy, you know, nurse, dude, whatever. And she did give birth to Bryson at the age of 16. However, he was born with osteogenesis imperfecta. A lot of people don't know what that is. It's basically called a brittle bone disease. Oh. And what we didn't know was, you know, when we seen the pictures and stuff, everything like in utero, what we didn't understand was that Bryson had the worst stage of it. Okay. So when I say the worst stage, basically in utero, while he was growing, you know how you feel your baby kicking and this and that. Well, every time that Bryson would move, kick, whatever, he would break. So he was breaking and healing, all while in utero, you know? And so that was very, and we didn't know that. Honestly, we didn't know until my daughter went into labor. And let me tell you just how great God is. A lot of people may be like, you know what? That there's nothing positive that could come out of that. Well, let me tell you, when she got ready to give birth, they told us, they said, well, her canal is so small, we're going to have to do a C-section. That was nothing but God, because of the simple fact, if she had pushed him through the birth canal, he would have crushed. So even with them doing a C-section, he still came out with 27 fractures that were not included. Yes, 27 fractures that were not included with the fractures that had taken place in utero. Yeah. So Gigi's baby was a strong, look, he was a strong one. He still came out that womb and he lived for 2 months. Okay. So, he did pass away at 2 months old, and the main reason for his diagnosis was respiratory distress, because one thing that did do a lot of breaking was his ribs. And I know a lot of people don't know anything about that, but anytime you have rib breakage, you know, your ribs pretty much, they go back to the setting that they should go back to. But because he was in utero, his thoracic cavity, the ribs were not fuming or fusing the way that they should. So his thoracic cavity was smaller than what it should have been. So his lungs were not able to expand to the capacity to where he would be able to breathe, you know, like a normal baby. So that caused respiratory distress in him. But, you know, let me tell you something. He was a fighter. He lived here for 2 months old. He passed away at 2 months old. And I can, one thing I can say is this right here. And people will think that I'm crazy when they hear me say this, but my grandson's death saved my life. Because before then, I honestly did not know who I was. I knew my accolades. I knew like everything that I told you once before, as far as who I am. I knew all those things, but I did not truly know my identity. I truly did not know who I was until after that happened with my grandson. And that is when I attempted the suicide, because it was a lot trying to be a mother to a daughter who had to give birth and also bury her own, her first son, her only son, and our only grandchild. And that's something that I don't care, nursing or anything else can prepare you for death, can prepare you for things like that in life. It's something that you have to go through. It's a process. And so that was something that I had to literally go through. And so, yes, I spent two times I ended up going to the mental health facility, a behavior health mental facility. And, you know, that's something that we don't talk about. We don't talk about mental health, you know, in the African-American culture, yeah. Because what goes on behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. But I didn't have a choice. You know, after attempting suicide, you know, they will place a court order on you where, you know, you are court ordered to stay for stay under care for 72 hours. And I have to be honest with you. You know how we are as women. We think we know it all. And then it didn't help that I was a nurse and it didn't help. So I knew what to do. I knew what to say to make sure that I could get out. I'm like, you know what? I need to get out of here. I need to get back home. I have other kids. You know, we have four children. We have two girls, two boys. I need to get back to work. I need to get back to my life. That'll make everything better. No, ma'am. It did not. Needless to say, I did get out. But guess what? That was 2017. I went right back 2018, December 26th of 2018. I called the suicide hotline and I told them that I was not in the mind frame of wanting to hurt myself, but I told them that I was in the mind frame of suicidal ideation and that I didn't need help. They sent the constable out. They did not handcuff me. It went as smooth as possible. They did everything that they needed to do. And the thing that I did was, this is what I said, and this is the honest to God truth. I said, God, if you allow me to go in here, I promise you, I will take advantage of every single thing that they will offer in this place. And when I come out, I will not keep my mouth shut. I will speak on everything. And let me tell you something. I came out December 31st of 2018. Did our ritual, you know, traditional thing. We New Year's Eve, we like to go to church and bring in the new year and this and that, this and that. And yes, I did do that. And so, yes, I did do that. But February of 2019, I became a certified holistic life coach. And in February of 2019, I started my own nonprofit organization called Surviving on Purpose, a certified life coaching ministry. And I have not closed my mouth since then. I have talked about just about everything there is that comes under the sun when it comes to mental health, mental illness. And I rally, and I even started doing, what I started doing was one thing that a lot of people, I didn't even understand at first. My husband didn't understand, was I started doing sessions and I didn't charge. I didn't charge for these sessions. And there for a minute, I was like, you know, I should be charging. And God said, no charge. He said, no charge. He said, I didn't charge you. I didn't charge you. So there will be no charge. Mm. And I think that the youngest child that I did a session with was 8, and the oldest that I've done a session with was 67. Hmm. 67 years old. So you see, there's a huge gap right there that says, listen, it doesn't matter about age. It doesn't matter about ethnicity. It doesn't matter about culture. Life is life. And when life starts lifing, when life starts lifing, you have to be honest. And you have to be real, because if you don't, life can take you right out of here. I do understand that when it's your time, it's your time. And, you know, you're not leaving until it's your time. As you can see, I'm still here after 55 Xanax. I said, no, you're not going to get out of here that quick. But even with that being said, God wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live life to the fullest. And we don't know what that is, because from birth, we have been given an identity, not the true identity by Christ, but we have been given an identity by our parents, whomever raised us. They gave us a name. They told us who we are. They told us what we should do. Then we started, you know, we went into school, and then we started seeing other things. We started seeing other people. We started picking up other identities. And before you know it, you're in an identity crisis, and you're saying, hey, I want to do this. I can make this much money doing this, and I can do this, and I can do that. And it's not that you can't do it. But at the end of the day, if any of those things fail, this is the number one question I ask every client. Who are you? Who are you? Because yeah. The minute everything failed in my life, everything that, you know, I could latch on to and say, I know I'm this, I know I'm this, I know I'm this. You know, I'm a mother, and I'm a daughter, and I'm a sister, and I'm a nurse, and I'm a all of those things meant nothing to me, because my mental capacity could not understand, if I'm all these things, why are they not working? They're not giving me any meaning. Like, I want to get out of here because I feel like none of these things matter anymore. And that's when God said, that's the thing. Your true identity lies within me, which is what I gave you before I even formed you in your mother's womb. And that's called purpose. That's when I learned, and that's how Surviving on Purpose became what it is today. And we've been rocking strong since 2019. Since 2019, I have been rocking strong with Surviving on Purpose, and I have not closed my... It's been hard. I won't sit here and tell you that it has not been hard, because the first the rejection was on 2000. The rejection was on 2000. I'm telling you, rejection. And I'm talking about rejection from family. I'm talking about rejection from my own culture. I'm talking about rejection from just rejection, period. Because once again, you're not supposed to talk about these things. These things are not real. If you're talking about these things, then you must not trust God. If you're talking about these things, then you must not know God. If you're talking about these things, then you're not praying enough. And that is why when God began to deal with me, he said, I want you to be holistic. That's what he taught me behind the doors of a mental hospital. I want you to know what holistic is. You are not, he said, you are not one-sided. There's a mental, there's a physical, there's an emotional, and there's a spiritual. And I need you to know that you have to feed all of those things holistically, because if you don't, you're going to lack in one of those areas, and you will not be the holistic person, that whole person that I created you to be. And so that's what I started teaching on. And a lot of people were like, holistic. Now, mind you, I started teaching on this in 2019. The pandemic hit 2020. That's when mental health and mental illness became huge. What did he do? He shut us up. He shut us back in our homes. He said, get back to the basics of who you are. Know your child. You can no longer see your child to school. You got to know your child, know your spouse, get back into your home. Make sure your house is in order before you step outside of your home. And a lot of that, guess what? We weren't doing it because we were so busy just doing this. And that's how we created life. Instead of dealing with those things that were here and those things that were here and the traumas that we had that were deep down inside from childhood, instead of dealing with those things, guess what? We started putting Band-Aids. We started shopping. We started getting into all these other things. But when the pandemic came, it shut down everything. You couldn't go to the gym. You couldn't go and shop. You couldn't, all these things that you wanted to do that you had used as temporary, you know, fixes no longer mattered. You had to be real with the person that you seen in the mirror. You had to be. And that was a scary thing. And that's why you seen the rise of mental illness become so prominent, because people begin to see themselves and say, you know what? I have this. I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I don't know what to do with my children. I don't know who my children truly are. Like, I don't know what they like. I don't know, because guess what? Your children spend more time at school than they do with you. So the let's just keep it real. You know, you spend more time with your coworkers than you do with your spouse. You spend more time at church, Bible study, choir rehearsal, you know, all these things than you do inside of your home. But when God shut it down, when the pandemic came and he shut us up in our homes, he said, I want you to deal with you. I want you to deal with you. And I think that was the hardest thing that many of us had to deal with, Yaya. It was hard. It was hard. And then Holistic came out. Holistic Mental Health came out, and we started talking about mental illness. And the rise started coming up, you know, schizophrenic, ADHD, you know, bipolar, like literally all these things. Your child running back and forth, can't focus. And then you're understanding, wait a minute, there's something to this. Hold on, because they can't focus. And we were always told, well, you know, don't put your children on those type of medications. Don't do this. But I'm here to tell you that not only do you need to pray, there's a reason why God put doctors and he put nurses and he put therapists and he put psychiatrists and he put psychologists here on this earth. And he gave us the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to understand the human mind, because we need it. And so it is nothing wrong with going to therapy is my best friend. I still have the same psychiatrist that I had in 2017. And I see her twice a year. And I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't leave her for nothing, because it keeps thinking. And God is still at the head of my life. He still is the head. He is my everything. You know, there's nothing that could ever take his place. But I also understand the dynamics of who I am and who I am to be. And that's where that book, I Am the Process, came in. My goodness. My goodness, girl,
I'm telling you, what a testimony. Well, I mean, that you went all the way through. What a testimony. Yeah. You know, as far as the process, tell me about this book. Tell me about this, because this seems to have been a culmination of all the things that have happened to you up until that certain point. And how hard was it to actually write this book?
It was hard. Number one, it was hard, Yaya, because I did not want to revisit. I didn't want to relive, and I didn't want to revisit. And one thing I didn't tell you is when I went into the behavior mental hospital, I started understanding that a lot of my traumas, it didn't start with my grandson. A lot of my traumas were childhood traumas. They were things that were not dealt with as a child. Yeah. Things that were not talked about, things that were not dealt with. How dare you ask these questions? You just do what you're told to do. Don't ask any questions. If I say it, then that's what goes. If the, you know, all these things, well, we know this happened, but we're not going to talk about this. We know this uncle molested. And I'm not saying these happened in my home, but what I'm saying is we know that this person did this to that person, but yet we're not going to talk about this. We're going to keep it within, not understanding that that right there has put us, has locked us in the capacity of a mental mindset that is almost like holding you hostage. You are in prison in your own mind because things have happened to you that you cannot talk about. Things have happened to you that you have internalized. And I tell you one thing, God unlocked that door and said, I give you permission to talk about it all. So I did not only have to start healing from the birth, from losing our grandson and going through all those things that I went through. It went all the way back to my childhood. Woo! Mm-mm. It went all the way back to my childhood to where I started asking questions. And some of those questions were not, they were not welcomed. Not at first. They were not welcomed. It was like, where did that come from? Well, why are you bringing that up? Because see, in a lot of times it's like, let's be, that's done with. No, it's not. It's not done with. Because it's still deep down on the inside. And until you purge that up, until you let that come up, until you unlock that, guess what? You will continue to be a prisoner of the things that have happened to you, and you're internalizing something that God says, I want you to be set free from. Yes, it happened to you, but guess what? It does not define who you are. But if you allow yourself to stay locked up and to stay in prison to your trauma, guess what? It will define you. It will tell you that you are nothing more than this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do. But when you are free, the truth will set you free. Now, it may make some people upset, and some people may live your life, because they're not ready to deal with their truth. But this is your truth. And a lot of times we don't tell our truth because we want to cradle the other person's truth. But you can't live your truth and not, you can't live your truth and yet try to cover up someone else's. Let the truth be the truth, you know? And if they're not ready for that part, then they may have to separate themselves from you. But that does not mean that you have to stay. And that's the thing right there. We stay in prison because we are so loyal to the things that we don't need to be loyal to. We don't know how to be loyal to ourselves. We don't know what self-love is. We don't know what self-confidence is. We don't know what self-esteem is. So guess what? We spend our lives living for someone else, to comfort them, to take care of them, while you're spiraling and going in cycles and wondering why you feel this way when this happens and why this trigger, why do you feel this? And you don't even know that it's a trigger. It's a trigger, and that trigger is telling you that there's something there underneath everything that needs to be dug out. Not cut off, but not cut off like with a weed whacker. I'm talking about pulled up from the root.
Yeah.
Pulled up from the root. That's when you start breaking generational curses. And a lot of these things that we're fighting, guess what? We didn't even start the fight. It started generations before our parents and their, and it was just passed on. And one thing I learned was trauma that is not transformed is transferred. So you're just transferring it. You're just transferring it because that's what you were taught. So that's what you teach. But I made up in my mind, it stops with me. I'm not transferring. And I'm now having to go back and apologize to my own children for things that I transferred to them, not even understanding that I was transferring all this trauma and all the, this goes past losing our grandson. And that's how far God took me back. And the process, so the process started a long time ago, but it did not come into, I want to say it did not come into the forefront until that death in our life, that death in my life jarred something in me that said, it's time for you to live. So now I say my grandson's death saved my life. Because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I had in me. I didn't know I had all this in me. I didn't know that I had this powerful voice. I didn't know that I could stand alone and that I'm not alone because God is with me. I didn't know that I could stand in my own truth, you know, stand in my truth, not their truth, but I could stand in my own mess. Because it's my mess, not their mess, but it's my mess. And I can be held accountable. That was the one thing God said, I need you to be held. I need you to acknowledge, and I need you to hold yourself accountable for what I'm showing you. And once you do that, the process begins. The process begins. That's when the breaking and the building, you know, the crushing and the cultivating. Oh, girl, that book.
Wow. It just seems like, I wish we had more time. It just seems like as if this book literally was your life and then the culmination of everything and then the solution.
It was God's solution. It was God's blueprint. The way God gave it to me, I didn't understand. He gave it to me years before I even wrote it. And I didn't understand what he was doing. God took the alphabets. He said, listen, I want you, and I'm telling you, this is no lie. This is no lie. I don't lie when it comes to stuff like that, but I was so in tune. God took the alphabets and he said, I want to take the alphabets. He said, and I'm starting with A. And as he started with A, he said, I want you to acknowledge. Then he went to B, C, D, E, F. And what he would do, he would give me the two things. Because you can't have the good without the bad. You have to go. There's a cycle that there's an exchange that has to be made. You can't have the building without the breaking down. And so with each alphabet all the way to J, and I didn't understand why he stopped me at J. I was like, well, what's next, God? Okay, J, you know, like, I need all the alphabets. But he stopped me at J because he said, at the end of this process, when you get to that J stands for joy. So when you open the book, you'll see that A starts with acknowledgement. That's the first alphabet. And the last alphabet that he had me use was J. And there's one word, and it's joy. So everything in between there, baby, it's a recipe. It is a recipe on the process. And what he did, he gave me a blueprint of the process, and he allowed me to put my testimony in there to validate what he's saying the process is. And then he allowed me to leave room for whomever was reading to put themselves in and like literally dissect themselves and put their own wording in there. So it's literally like a 3-in-1. It's like a 3-in-1. It's like a devotion that God has given us. And then he's like, in her testimonies come right behind, because she's telling you how it went through. And now after her testimony, she leaves an open area that says journal. And this is, what do you think? And this is, what am I mean, literally he's wanting you to feel everything in. So you're going through this process, your own process. So instead of saying, I am, I'm telling people now, put your name there where it says, I am. Von is the process. Yaya, you are the process. And that part where he said, surviving the season that is changing your name, all he's telling you is, I'm getting you back to your true identity.
Wow.
So many things have told you who you are. He says, but I now want to tell you who you are from when I even thought of you before you were even conceived. And baby, you better believe it is going to, that season is going to change your name, because you are really going to understand who you are and why you're here and what it is that God has for you, not the next person and the next person. My spouse and me, we have different purposes, but guess what? We combine those together because everyone is made uniquely different. And he says, I want unity. The church is within us. We think that we got to go inside the four walls to be able to have church. He said, no. That's where you go to fellowship. He said, but I want you to be able to go on the corner and minister to someone and say to them, I understand where you're coming from. You're not alone. I've been there and I've done that. I know what it feels like to have suicidal ideation. I know what it feels like to have depression. I know what it feels like to have anxiety. And yes, it is real. Don't let anyone tell you that mental illness is not real. Mental health is real too. Mental health and mental illness are completely different. And that's why it is so important for you to take care of your mind. The enemy wants your mind. If he can get the mind is a terrible thing to waste. It really is. That was a commercial a long time ago, and now I understand why.
Yes. Wow. Von, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it. I wish, like I said, we had more time to talk.
Yes.
But people can reach you. How can they reach you?
Well, number one, they can, if they're trying to get my book, yay, they can go to Amazon, and you do have the Q code on here, but they can go to Amazon and all they have to do is type in, I am the process, and they will see this book pop up and it has my name on there. They also can reach me. I'm on Facebook, so they can go on Facebook and they can type in Surviving on Purpose in COC Ministry, and it will actually bring up my official page, okay, on there. Or they can go to survivingonpurpose.org, and that will bring up my actual website. So I'm here. I can be reached, okay? And I'm doing my first book signing here in Tyler, Texas, March the 23rd. So if it's anybody that's in the area, or if you're not in the area and you just want to slide through and talk to your girl or whatever, I will be signing. I'll be signing books. And as you buy books, you know, we'll be raffling off a 32-inch TV. And we have four speakers who will be giving about 15 minutes of a testimony about four things that God wanted me to speak on. And it's real quick. One will be prayer. One will be resilience. One will be perseverance. And the other one will be hope, because those are four things that you need and you must have as you travel through the process. So
definitely,
I'm ready.
I hear that. And we have your website right there. Is that correct? Surviving
on Purpose. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And I Am the Process is right above me. If you're watching, yes, it's the QR code. All you got to do is just put your phone up to the screen and you can go ahead and go to the website or Amazon where you can purchase the book. I absolutely loved our time together. Thank you so much for being on the show. I truly appreciate it. It has been such a lovely thing, and you have so much to offer. I'm so happy you're still here.
Thank you. Thank you. I am too. Honestly, I am. Sometimes I wonder, God, why do you still have me? I still have my moments, but I'm going to keep going.
Please
and
do.
And it's reasons like this, because, you know, I know that I'm needed. And I thank you so much for even giving your time and even giving me this position, this time to even speak on this. And this is what helps me. Because I need it just as well as everyone else needed. A lot of people don't know that they feed me just like I feed them. So right. I'm not alone, and I need you guys. I do. I need you. I really do.
You know, and I tell this, and we have to go after this. I tell people all the time. I said, you know what? Some people in the world cannot fulfill their mission if you're not here.
That's right.
So if you were to not be here, then what do they do?
I know.
It's like if you take yourself out of the picture, then you have to include all of those people that would be inspired by you. You got to take them out too.
I know. I get it.
Can't do that.
I get it.
You can't do that. You can't do that. You got to stay.
I get it. We have to stay linked up, y'all. Look, we are linked. We got to stay linked up, okay?
Definitely. Well, I want you to link up. I Am the Process is in that QR code right there. Also, go to survivingonpurpose.com and check out the website. If you find yourself in a struggle and you need help, you know, first of all, you can call the suicide hotline, and we'll put that in the description box below. But you can also call my girl, Yvonne, and she can take care of you as well. She's been there. She's done that. And she knows what you're going through. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you so much, Yvonne, for being here. And until next time, guys, be blessed.
Be blessed. Bye-bye.